This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're going to meet the author of a kid's book called Unraveling Rose that helps parents and teachers talk with kids about impulsive and obsessive thoughts. Plus, we're going to listen back on a conversation we had with historian Jim Powers about the story behind Summerlin Road in Fort Myers. But first, NAMI, or the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is the nation's largest mental health organization that's dedicated to building better lives for the millions of Americans affected by mental illness. They've been doing this since the late 1970s. It's one of the nation's leading voices on mental health and has hundreds of local affiliates, state organizations, and volunteers, including several here in Southwest Florida. On today's show, we're going to meet a woman who got help from NAMI Collier County for her mental illness. She went from being homeless to having an apartment near the nonprofit's Sarah Ann Center, and she now works part-time there answering phones. Bonnie Kay, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks so much for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And we're also joined today by Whitney Strohmeyer. She is the Director of Development for NAMI in Collier County. Whitney, thanks for being here, too.
Thanks for having us.
And as always, we invite you to join our conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Bonnie, you came to our attention because of a testimonial that you wrote about how your life has changed for the better since getting involved with NAMI of Collier County. But I want to hear about what inspired you to write that testimonial.
My life has been anything but easy. I was admitted to my first mental hospital at the age of 10. And I spent a year and a half there. And I was basically just put on a lot of medication. There was no counseling. I had been through sexual abuse. I was in foster care system. I had had no counseling, no help dealing with everything I was going through. I ended up with a 30-year drug addiction, trying to self-medicate. I've been clean now for 10 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have been in situations that I should have never been in, but I honestly didn't know a way out. I didn't think there was a way out. And in 2013, I've also done, due to my drug addiction, quite a bit of time in prison. I got out in 2013 and went to a homeless shelter. That's where I was connected with Sarah Ann Center, which is an affiliate of NAMI, which is a day center for adults with mental illness. They can go and there's groups. There's counseling, and it's just a place to be accepted. No matter what your mental diagnosis is, you're treated just normal, like everybody else. And I got married also in 2013. My husband and I were homeless for 3 years. Throughout my life, I have attempted suicide many times. There have been times when I didn't think there were any hope, that things were never going to get any better, and that nobody could possibly understand what I was going through or where I was mentally. Sometimes I wasn't even sure myself. I started attending Sarah Ann Center, and NAMI is, like I said, they're affiliated. So I also got to know the staff members at NAMI during – I was homeless for 3.5 years.
Tell me about that. What does homeless in Naples look like?
Truthfully, they don't want you here. There was nowhere really at that time for us to go get any help.
There, so where did you stay?
We slept wherever we could, behind buildings. We tried sleeping at a few churches at night after they closed. We would get removed by the police because they have a contract with them that if they catch anybody there after dark, they make them leave. We actually basically had to try to keep moving all night.
So did you just kind of go shelter to shelter?
Actually, there is only one shelter, and that is St. Matthew's House. And that is where me and my husband met. Because we got married there, we ended up being put out. So it wasn't an option to go back there. Hmm. We stayed outside. the only way we were actually able to get any relief from that was during the day at the Sarah Ann Center. They have a back room that's for a meditation or a quiet room, and we would basically sleep there during the day. And at night, we just had to kind of keep it moving because
you became nocturnal.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't really do so well when you're already battling with mental illness anyway. Having that whole circadian, that basic thing, just not being standard and normalized. You were dealing with mental illness issues during this time period, but you were also able to remain clean.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. Once I did – I had a crack addiction for 30 years. The last time I went to jail, they were trying to give me 60 years for selling drugs to an undercover police officer. A very, very small amount. But because of my record, they wanted to put me away for the rest of my life. I decided then that that was no longer an option, even though for many years of my life I felt that was the only option I had. That was no longer an option. I have realized that the drug addiction only compounded and made my life even worse than what it already was.
Well, that's a hard realization to get to, though. A lot of people don't make it to that until it's too late. So it's good that you found that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I found that realization while in prison talking to the people that were spending the rest of their life there. And I decided that is not where I wanted my story to end.
So I want to fast forward a little bit now. You went through the years of homelessness, and then you got hooked up with the NAMI organization through the center there.
Yes.
How did you go from that to getting your own apartment?
Actually, NAMI did a lot of encouraging. They helped us in ways that I couldn't even imagine, even with simple things like bus passes. And sometimes when we knew we could go there every day for a hot meal. Our problem was we didn't have enough income to save first month's, last month's insecurity to get into a place.
Well, affordable housing has been an issue in our area for a very long time. And I'm wondering, and I'm seeing a head nod over here from Whitney, do you see that the affordable housing crunch that we're having, is that maybe having an impact on the number of people that end up then having mental health issues as a result of the stress and the financial stress of even just trying to save up for last month, first month, everything?
Absolutely.
It's a serious issue, and I can't imagine just as something as simple as a bus pass to get to a job interview or something like that, or get yourself cleaned up to be able to present yourself for the interview to just get the apartment, because, you know, you have to pass those too. So that's – I can see how without that, that feeling of hopelessness could then compound everything else.
And actually, we did a couple of times went to apartment complexes, and I had spoken to the managers for a couple of weeks every day. And we managed to get the money to move in, and then only to get there and find out they did a 99-year background check. So it didn't matter that I had been clean for 8 or 9 years. They were doing – and I told them I wouldn't need an apartment in 99 years. But NAMI actually – kept giving us – every day I was able to find hope there. There were people that regardless of what we were going through, even if they didn't have a direct answer, they were willing to listen. And when I did have a specific question, they – if they themselves could not help me, they would direct me where to go. And they actually believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And they actually have given me more self-esteem and more confidence than I've ever had in my life.
When you were going there, were you beginning to unravel some of the things that happened early in your life that may have contributed to the mental illness that you experienced? You said that you at 10 years old, you were put in a mental institution and put on medication, but there was no counseling that went with it. Was it the talking it out that helped?
It was the talking it out and being around some of the staff members that had been through some of the same things I experienced. Maybe not in the exact same situation, but they had this, they knew the feelings. They knew the hopelessness.
Yeah, it's so interesting because it seems like when you're going through the things, you feel like you're the only person who has ever experienced this thing and you're the only person who has ever felt this way. But in so many cases, that's not really the case.
Absolutely not.
But that commonality helps validate what you've gone through and who you are now.
Yes, and it helped me. I spent a lot of my life very angry, and it was more, I think now to look back, I was more hurt, but everything came out as anger because I felt like nobody cared and nobody understood. And I have never felt the compassion and the understanding that I found at NAMI anywhere in my life. I quit school in ninth grade because I felt like everybody knew what had happened to me. And everybody was judging me and blaming me, even if it wasn't my fault. And for a lot of years, I did believe it was my fault. Until I learned to forgive those people, which at one point in my life, I didn't want to do. I wanted them to pay for what they had done for me. But that unforgiveness was destroying me. Those people didn't care that they had hurt me or what had been done to me. They were going on with their lives and living their lives, and I was the one suffering because through the abuse I went through, I continued to abuse myself and allow other people to abuse me all the way up until, well, I'm 56 now, so I'll say 46 before I was able to forgive my abusers and realize that this anger was only destroying me. I've made a lot of bad choices in my life, and I made a lot of bad decisions. Today I'm able, and I was very compulsive. I didn't care about consequences. I didn't care truthfully who was hurt. There's a saying that hurt people hurt people, and I did that. I have two sons that are 32 and 33, and I basically wasn't there for them their entire life. I was in my addiction. As a result of that, my youngest son spent 15 years in prison. My oldest son is now there. My youngest son that got out is doing amazing. He's changed his entire life around. He is...
So you still have contact with him then?
Oh, absolutely, which is a miracle.
Do you feel that maybe possibly he might have gotten some inspiration by the way you've turned your life around? Or did he do the same rock bottom in prison, talking with the other people in prison, and made the same decision you did to not do that anymore?
Well, he was sitting facing a life sentence, and I had contacted him. I was in prison and told I was never going to get out because I had cancer. And my other son was facing 7 life sentences, and he decided that is not where his story was going to end. And he has done amazing. He is doing amazing. He's about to be a father, as a matter of fact.
Oh, congratulations. Did you think maybe like 3 or 4 years ago you were going to be a grandma?
No, actually, I didn't think I'd be here. You know, on my 55th birthday, he sent me a card. He gave me a card and he said to me, I never thought you'd make it this far, Mom. And I didn't think I'd be here to see it. And I'm going to be honest with you. Had it not been for NAMI and Sarah Ann, I might not be here. And don't get me wrong. Everything isn't rosy right now. I just a couple of weeks ago went through a whole 24-hour period where I wanted to end my life again. It's something I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life. Sometimes I take the medication and everything is fine and everything is good. And I think I don't need it anymore. So I quit taking it.
Because it's working.
Exactly. Right. And I quit taking it and I can end up right back where I came from so easily. And right now my life is more than I could have ever imagined. I actually want to cry, you know, because I honestly never believed in myself enough. This is actually when my son came home from prison 2.5 years ago. It's the first time in his life he's ever seen me clean. And
Well, you're not the only one in the room that's about to cry. So I will take that opportunity to shift. Whitney Strohmeyer, I'm going to turn to you for just a minute. Tell me a little bit more about the Sarah Ann Center and the kinds of help that people can get there. What do people expect when they walk in the door, if maybe they're afraid to go?
So with mental illness, isolation is very common, as Bonnie was talking about, and just that feeling that nobody really understands what they're going through. And so our hope is exactly what Bonnie got out of it, that we're able to support. That's part of our mission, is to support, advocate, and educate for mental illness. And so at the Sarah Ann Center, it's a peer-run environment, which means that people who work there have lived experience, so they are further able to understand what the members are going through.
So that kind of helps remove some of that fear of being judged.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do want to say also that we're recovery oriented. So, you know, mental illness doesn't mean the end of life. It's mental illness. And so, you know, people can get better from that. Treatment is necessary, but certainly not sufficient. So after somebody gets treatment, certainly they need some support after that. And that includes friendships and groups and fun activities and meaningful things to do in their lives.
I would imagine a lot of people that do come kind of stick around and still come back and visit. And still want to be part of the community.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of that community feeling. How do people get connected to NAMI and Collier County if they want to?
They can call us. They can stop by, visit us on Facebook and on our website.
What is your phone number? Do you know?
239-260-7300.
And Bonnie, are you the one answering the phone?
A few days a week, yes.
A few days a week?
Yes.
So you ended up working there now?
Yes.
Part-time?
How do you like it? I love it. I love it. Actually, working in the office and answering the phones shows me another side to the mental illness. Being in the Sarah Ann Center and getting the acceptance and the help is one thing. But being there answering the phones and greeting the people that come into the lobby for help, I also see another side. I see the family side, the family's view, and the struggle it is for them. Mm-hmm. With when you have a family member that has mental illness. So it's I love it. I mean sometimes I think I'm not qualified for this, but I think as long as you care, there really aren't a lot of qualifications. I mean, you just have to care and want to help. And sometimes just listening to the people that are going through this or that they have a family member going through it makes a person feel better.
Yeah, listening is pretty critical. It's not something you encounter a whole lot. What, you were going to say something about families. I think you talked about that. But do they offer some other support services for family members?
Absolutely. And so we have family support groups and family to family training. It's not uncommon for people with mental illness to lose touch with their families because it is difficult and it can be stressful on the whole family unit. So a lot of times when Bonnie was talking about homelessness, certainly that's something common that we see in our office. And a lot of times they just have no family, no friends, no
Well, because sometimes when someone's going through the addiction stuff too, they end up kind of using up all their contacts and burning bridges because they've borrowed everything they can. Absolutely. I mean, it's quite a challenge. And people tough love it and say, look, I can't help anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so then you're trying to have to make these reunions happen through a lens of recovery. So I'm sure that's really sometimes challenging and definitely very emotional.
Absolutely. And people need hope, right? So if you're isolated and you're homeless and you have nowhere to go and you have no family support system and no money, certainly housing is, we feel, the golden thread. So you can't, how can you focus on your mental health and your well-being and a job and relationships if you have nowhere to stay, as Bonnie was talking about, and what that experience is like. For me, I have found that it is critical. What people really want is for someone to care about them. And so we hope that that's what NAMI provides, is just somebody to care about them so that they can get the resources and help that they need.
Is it more of a group situation all the time, or are there opportunities for individual one-on-one counseling for people?
We don't offer counseling, just support, and we have several support groups.
Okay.
So there isn't any therapeutic counseling available, but there is group support.
But do you point people in the right direction if that's something that they're in need of?
Absolutely. We try and navigate the system as far as other community partners and resources that they can they can be linked with.
I'm wondering, do you feel like there's enough there for what we have that we're dealing with as far as needs for counseling and mental illness and these types of support systems? Do you think there's enough in Naples of that?
Gosh, that's such a tough question because I do get to work with so many fantastic community partners that I'm learning about more and more as I develop in this
job. Every time you have to ask a question, do some research. Oh, look, well, there's a whole other organization. Imagine that.
Yeah, and people in Naples in general, where this city was built on philanthropy and trying to help other people. So, so certainly there are lots of great organizations. Is there a lot of funding? No, quite frankly. I believe Florida is 50th out of 50 in mental health funding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we rank right down there at the bottom.
We
that.
Do.
So, yeah, and it's a challenge. So are you you're nonprofit, correct?
We are.
So you take donations as
we
an
do.
Organization.
And I do want to add that all of our services are free. So there is no charge for the Sarah Ann Center, for any of our programming. It's completely free.
So the Sarah Ann Center, where is that located?
On 41 and Pine Ridge, it's essentially across the street from Barnes & Noble and the Waterside Shops.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
6216.
I think I know what you're talking about. I've got a visual. But people can certainly look that up, you know, online and get a hold of you if they want to either volunteer, donate, or find some help.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie?
I just wanted to say there's another awesome program that is associated with NAMI called Self-Directive Care. And what they do is people with mental illness, they help you actually either get you volunteering somewhere or help you to become employed.
Even volunteering, you know, it sounds like, yeah, I'm not making any money, but that's what you need, right?
Yeah.
But if you're volunteering, you at least have a purpose or a
exactly.
reason to get up in the day.
And they have helped me also so very much. I mean, there have been times that – before I started volunteering and working with NAMI that I just wasn't able to make ends meet. And they have actually helped me with my rent at mm-hmm. times. They do so much, but their main motivation on self-directive care is to make you either employable again and work with you through that process. They actually allow you to set goals.
Mm-hmm.
And they help you to work towards those goals. They hold you accountable to reach those goals.
And if you're involved with someone, they're going to hold you accountable. And
yes.
then you have to do it. You can't just let
exactly.
it slide for another week
and
another month.
And they make you want to do it.
Exactly.
It gives you that encouragement to want to do it.
Well, I got to thank you for coming in and sharing your story. That testimonial that we read, we get a lot of news releases. We get a lot of things. But it was really a touching statement that you made. And I'm really glad we got to get you in here to talk to us on the
thank
show today.
You. I'm glad to be here.
So I want to thank also Whitney Strohmeyer. She's the Director of Development at NAMI in Collier County. Whitney, I appreciate your thoughts as well.
Thanks for having us.
And Bonnie Kay, thanks so much and congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
When we return, we meet Brian Ray. He's the author of the kids' picture book called Unraveling Rose that helps parents and teachers talk with kids about impulsive and obsessive thoughts. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.